everybody. Welcome back. It's the Star Wars Report Podcast.
Ah, he welcomed me back. I'm glad to be back. Yay. Bethany's back.
You just totally ruined it.
Ruined what? I don't understand.
It's supposed to be like a grand build up, and you have a few minutes to say, and it's been, it's like, here's how it's going to go. It's going to be like, and first I got Mark Curlman, and then like someone who's not been able to be on the show, but we're so glad to have her back after her long absence. It's my dear sister, great friend, and co-host and co-founder extraordinaire, Bethany Blanton, and then you're supposed to have like...
Yeah, but I just got so excited. Like, I couldn't contain myself. I couldn't contain myself.
I mean, that's a little bit of an understatement. I mean, excited, but like so excited. You were more excited than Whistler, who of course is probably also joining Mr. Mark Curlman. Hey, Mark, how's it going?
Hey, doing good as always. How you guys been?
Doing fantastic. Spring semester rolls along, and academics are going well. And I really liked what we did over the last couple weeks, where we were able to record. And I'd be interested to get some feedback from the listeners as to what you guys think of the format, where we've had some shorter episodes, but we've been able to record several in one sitting, kind of like you guys do with Beyond the Films. And so let us know, StarWarsReport@gmail.com, if you kind of like that format, because it means, you know, I'm able to schedule out the episodes, and we're able to kind of still record often enough to keep up with the news, and goodness knows there's a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But it's also enough to where it makes it easier to make sure that these episodes are coming out more consistently for you guys. So that's pretty cool. Another thing we're experiencing... Oh, by the way, I'm Riley Blanton, founder of the Star Wars Report and co-host of this year's podcast. So glad that you've decided to tune for this week, the week of February 8th. We truck on towards May 19th. May 19th, the rumored start date for filming. I saw that just earlier this afternoon, actually. So things in the Star Wars community have really rolled along, and that's the one disadvantage of going like 2 or 3 weeks without recording is that there has been a ton of news. A ton of news. It's been ridiculous what's been coming forward from the Star Wars community. In fact, like, because, and I'm not meaning like there's actual substantive stuff here. It's not like Zac Efron confirms that he denied that he confirmed that he denied that he will have a role in... I swear to the force.
So he's in or out?
If I see Zac Efron pop up in my Google news feed one more time, I will bash my head through this Angry Bird Stormtrooper stuffed thing that's sitting next to me. But anyway. Mm-hmm. But how have you been, Mark? How things going?
Well, you know, busy.
Busy?
I don't mind Zac showing up, though. I'm one of those that, like, you know... I didn't like him at first. It was like, okay, High School Musical, I get it, you can sing. But then I watched that movie 17, and he busts out the lightsaber with his best friend that was a huge Star Wars fanatic like myself. And I was like, okay, this is fun.
Yeah.
And then you know, watched him do the lightsaber battle. I'm like, hey, this kid's got moves. Then I watched him in his other movies and stuff. And I mean, the kid can act. So, I mean, you know, if he does show up one more time in your feeds, I hope it's either legitimate, you know, he is going to do something, or, you know, we're never going to hear about it again. But, you know, it's one of those things where... It makes you stop and question, though. I mean, everybody's saying, you know, well, this is happening, that's happening, this is happening. And then you got them coming forward and going, well, yeah, I've talked, but nothing's really going forward. I don't know. Yeah. I try to avoid as many rumors as possible right now,
Because
it seems like everything is coming out as rumors. And then you get a lot of the really flashy headlines as
you know,
breaking news, so-and-so confirmed, Disney confirmed, Lucasfilm confirmed. And you go in and it's like, okay, nowhere in this is anyone actually confirmed from these organizations, et cetera, this. It's like people are infirming information. They're getting stuff from over here. And some of it is really smart, you know, digging. I mean, looking up Lego pieces and stuff like that from other countries and stuff and figuring out character names. That to me seems like a pretty legitimate, like, okay, yeah, you haven't got any actual feedback there, but the box really, why would they lie on the box? Like, you know, but there's other times where people are just like, yeah, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. And I don't know. I just scratch my head like, really? Like, I don't know. That doesn't seem like confirmed to me. Well, if I get confirmed, I'm going to StarWars.com or a Disney website and seeing it there. Like when they sold Marvel the rights to all the Star Wars comics come 2015. That showed up on those sites. Nothing else I've seen.
Yeah.
Well, it's like with actor rumors, it's like everybody and their mother is in talks of some sort because everybody wants a role in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And who wouldn't? you know?
Well, yeah. And it's kind of like we're going through the casting, let's call it the great castpocalypse of 2013. It was just a constant cycle of rumors. And I think we're hearing another cycle of rumors because of the change of script as Michael Arndt was out and evidently, you know, J.J. Abrams was doing the rewrites and the tweaks, although we still don't know to what extent, you know, who's doing what. But we will find out. But, I mean, it has been the week of...
Also, where they were saying that it wasn't that Arndt left because of differences in direction. He's just on to the next movie already.
Yeah, that was another rumor that came up. Yeah, a rumor that he's moved on to the next film.
I don't even know what to follow anymore. Can't we just shut down the rumor mills?
I don't know. I am too fond of all the rumors that seem to keep coming out. And speaking of rumors, this week it's all Star Wars Rebels. It's just Star Wars Rebels and more Star Wars Rebels. I just picked this up. This is actually from the 26th, so this is about a week and a half old as we record this, but man. Rumor Mer-Jade. The one
Mer-Jade?
I did not mean to southern that.
Mer-Jade?
The one Mer-Jade Skywalker. You're darn tootin', she's a Jedi. Used to be the Emperor's hand, you know what I'm saying?
I do declare that Riley does have a thing for having Mara Jade. Wait, I didn't say Mara. Having Mara Jade in the movie.
I got to get that to go next to my Jaina Sola. Holy cow.
Yeah. I'm like, a Jedi.
So there's customization here.
I'm a Jedi like my father before me. I tell you what. You know, what you guys just heard is actually what I just said. Mara Jade to be introduced, quote, introduced in Rebels as the bridge to Episode 7?
Question mark?
Question me. I got the answer.
All right, this is from Club J's. Make sure your cynic caps are tightly in place because this one is super sketchy. I happen to agree. But this is a rumor from Star Wars 7 News. Will Rebels introduce Mara Jade to the Star Wars screen? That's what was yesterday labeled as speculation by Star Wars 7 News, who now say they've received tips from, quote, people close to the production, this could indeed be the case. Here's what was left as an anonymous comment on their site. Quote, it can be said that Rebels will introduce Mara Jade into the film canon, sometimes appearing with the Inquisitor, and she will be the living mother of Ben Skywalker. Episode 7 will take place 30 ABY. Jason and Jaina will be to Ben what Han, Leia, and Leia were to Luke. Ben will be around the same age as his cousins. Chewie will still be alive. And an all-new timeline, Mark, I think you're going to be happy about this. An all-new timeline will be introduced from 4 ABY forward. So, that's the rumor. Plausible, yes. It's interesting, because that is some heavy borrowing, if that's what they're going to do.
Well, and not only that, but I don't know why this stood out in my mind, but it did. And when they say she will be the living mother of Ben Skywalker, I guess that they're clarifying that because, yes, she's not still alive
in the current expanded universe.
But specifying that she'll be the living mother, it's just weird phrasing. Like, why would you specify that?
Mm-hmm. Because you're making it up.
Right, exactly. That's kind of what I was, like, as opposed to the Force Ghost mother, as opposed to the soon-to-be-dead mother.
Yeah, if she's going to show up in Episode 7, I want it to be a Force Ghost. If they're going to be putting it that far out, that would make the most sense. And having her as a bridgeway to that is awesome, because now you're going, wait, why is she dead? Wait, she's married to Luke? What? And then you got to go back and read all these early books. You don't have to, but they're all right there. They're awesome. Over $330 ready for you to read. I mean, and Mara's got such a great story. I mean, it's all primed at fans like me to just be like, see, you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it. It's the same rumor that we've always been following, that everything after Return of the Jedi is going to be changed.
You know what I've always thought?
When I heard this, I tweeted on Beyond the Film's Facebook page. What did this Jedi Grinder? Is that the new Facebook screen name for Jedi Shadows or
what was
Super Shadow?
Yeah, the Super old, Shadow.
Blowing smoke left and right, you know. I mean, this just screams of made up on the spot.
It does. I mean, like as Club Jade puts it on their site, It's exactly, right, quote, what we'd want, theoretically.
Sure, sure. Well, so, it does sound awfully pandery. But, yeah, you know, that's kind of the nature of a lot of these rumors that come up.
But it's this. Would Leland and Pablo let that slide?
Yeah.
I mean, I, for a long time, wanted to see something like this in alternate universe. And Leland especially has been absolutely against it.
Yeah.
So I don't see him letting that slide. I just have a hard time. And same with the other rumor about you're going to see these characters from the EU show up with new names. It's like, did Lucas ever do that? I mean, I don't see them doing that. That just, it seems like fan pandering that people are throwing these rumors out there. And then other people are like, oh, this is legitimate because so-and-so works over in this industry. It's like, that doesn't mean that they're not making this up on the spot too.
Sure. Well, and I'll tell you what, like there's something about when these kinds of rumors come forward, this one does seem pretty outlandish. And what we always say, and what you always hear a lot of fan sites now saying, which is good, is that you wait to hear something officially from Disney or officially from Lucasfilm. Now, here's the problem, is that like there's kind of three tiers of rumor. One is the Mara Jade rumor. One that, which is basically just an anonymous source that someone claims they have, and it's just random. It sounds like fan fiction. Number two is usually the licensees. We talked last week and weeks before. We were talking about the Lego figures that you were seeing pictures of the characters from Star Wars Rebels now, getting an idea. Though that's pretty legitimate because it's from the licensees. It's still not like super official. And then, of course, you have the actual top tier from the companies itself, Disney and Lucasfilm. And this next story does come from that top tier status. And that's kind of usually what we're going to focus on in the Star Wars Report. Mm-hmm. If it is a juicy rumor, if it is outlandish, you know, that the Mara Jade thing caught my eye. But this certainly excites me. This is straight from Jedi News. Star Wars Rebels movie confirmed. Now this, and that's exactly what it is. This is officially from Disney, just in a terribly anticlimactic way. Essentially, they just announced the next Star Wars film coming before, albeit maybe a TV one, but still, an actual feature-length feature, unless they clarify. This is an extract from the Disney shareholder letter that was sent out to shareholders in a hard copy this week, and it confirms that the Star Wars Rebels movie is coming this summer on the Disney Channel, as well as a series of Star Wars Rebels shorts, probably to introduce the characters in the show, which will also be shown on the Disney Channel. This will be followed by a continuing series on Disney XD that, of course, we've all expected. And actually, here's the quote from the actual shareholder letter. And it says, "The rich universe of Star Wars has been a tremendous creative potential for the entire company. While the world eagerly awaits Episode 7 to open in theaters, we're introducing Star Wars Rebels to television audiences this summer with a movie and a series of shorts." So, like,
but let me interject on this, on the StarWars.com site where it says Star Wars Rebels meet Chopper, Grumpy, the Grumpy Astromech Droid. It says
Star Chopper, Wars Grumpy, Happy, Sleepy.
Yeah, okay.
Sneezy.
Yeah, I know.
Chopper does sound a little bit like something from Snow White.
It says Star Wars Rebels is scheduled to premiere in fall 2014 as a 1-hour special telecast on Disney Channel. So I'm wondering, do they mean like an actual movie, or are they talking like this special or something that's just like an extended episode or two or three episodes cut together?
Well, here's the thing. It's like we hadn't heard anything since the initial Rebels announcement where they said there would be a special is the word that they used. And what the copy you're reading from StarWars.com is what they originally announced. And then we've heard nothing. And they've talked about the series coming up this fall, the series coming up this fall, the series coming up this fall, and then just haven't mentioned it. So I think a lot of fans just wrote it off, including myself, and just kind of said, well, I guess they're just not going to go for the whole summer movie since, you know, Clone Wars. Hopefully this is a lot better than the Clone Wars movie. I mean, I love the Clone Wars, but that was a poor way to start that series.
Well, and it was really the starting point of the series. It was like, we're getting our feet wet. Yeah. And it was kind of sad to me. I would far rather have them to have ended with a movie than to have begun with a movie.
The only thing they got wet were all the fans' expectations as they dampened the spirit of the fan. Okay, sorry. Were you saying something, Mark?
Like three or four episodes as is. And what was worse was they were out of order. I mean, when the show starts, I mean, you know, they're not even in that time frame. I mean, it was crazy how they bounced all around in that regard. So, I mean, I would hate to see him do something similar, but at the same time, the concept that they used at all these conventions and other places, you know, down in LA and San Diego and stuff, where they would go and you'd watch the Darth Maul arcs, you know, the Night Sisters and stuff, and the Pong Krell stuff, when you go down and they go and watch these in these big theaters and stuff, they were doing that. And that seemed to be a really cool thing for the people that went there. They were really jazzed and amped, and they came back just totally pumped beyond belief. I mean, it was like, whoa, what kind of drug are you on? Oh, you're on Star Wars super crack. Okay. Awesome. And I would love to see something like that, where we do see movies to start off each season. Like, that'd be cool to have the first one be like a, you know, a short little 45 to an hour and a half long sure. episode.
Do what they did with the Clone Wars. That would be fun. Have those special screenings. And no, not at the Presidio. I mean...
Well, I was really just wondering...
I have an innate jealousness and anger at fans in the Southern California area who can actually attend those special screenings.
William.
But then, like, an actual official, you know, limited screening going in. Because a lot of TV shows do this now. It's not uncommon.
Yeah. Well, Sansi, I brought it up mainly because everybody's read that about starting it with a special in the fall, blah, blah, blah. But I'm wondering if this is a semantics thing. But there is a timeline difference, because in the StarWars.com post, you know, it says scheduled to premiere in fall 2014 is a 1 hour special. And in Jedi News,
the 1 hour special is in fall.
Yeah. Okay. On StarWars.com. But on the Jedi News report of the movie,
which is actually from Disney like last week. So this is like the most recent stuff we have.
Yeah. It says to Star Wars Rebels to television audiences this summer with a movie.
Yeah.
So it's this summer with a movie.
Well, like this is from the WaltDisneyCompany.com, like the actual official site. You download the shareholders letter in PDF. And it's for shareholders, obviously. It's not like wide distribution, but it's public. Well,
that's
in that.
It's like, okay, everybody needs to go out, buy stock in Disney.
Sure. Yeah.
Be your insider.
Yeah, like, that's true. I mean, I wonder if they're twisting the term 1 hour special into movie.
Yeah, see, that's what I meant about semantics.
Yeah, well, although a 1 hour special is not a movie. Like, we can all agree that that's not true. So if they're twisting that around, that's definitely, that's not okay in my book.
But I've seen movies that were an hour long that were just as exciting. I mean,
were they called movies?
Programs, specials, yes. Episodes, yes. Movies, I don't think it quite counts.
I mean, there are Sherlock episodes that are longer than an hour.
Because I'd rather see hour-long episodes like that.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, I mean, imagine that. Like, if you did like a 2 hour or 3 hour movie event, and then every episode was an hour long. I mean, okay, there you go. I mean, now I'd be down for that, and I don't care if I have to sit that long. That's what The Hobbit has shown me, that I'm willing to let my butt cheeks go numb and see a movie that long if it's that good. I mean, we can bust those old. It's got to be under so many long minutes now. I mean, let's just go for broke. Let's have a 5 hour Star Wars movie.
Oh.
I'm down.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, if anything the Peter Jackson fans have learned is that we have to get very used to the idea of numb butts, if nothing else. So, which speaking of which, like that, and again, like I said, this is the big week of Star Wars Rebels news.
What can I say about Chopper? He's grumpy. He's a little rickety astromech made up of a bunch of different spare parts because our Rebels can't even afford the nice new parts. He likes to do things the way that he wants, not necessarily the way the crew wants or as fast as the crew would like, but he gets the job done. He's incredibly loyal. The easiest way to sum up Chopper that we took to on the writing team is if R2's your favorite dog, Chopper's a cat.
I hate cats. There he is. The one. It's so cool to hear Dave Filoni's voice.
Oh, it is.
Like,
yes.
Because I miss those. I absolutely miss, you know, seeing Dave Filoni on these specials, you know, leading up to the Clone Wars.
I do. And can I say, maybe this is the I'm a Star Wars fan and I don't like change and please don't hurt my Star Wars side of me coming out, which almost never comes out, actually. But it warms my heart to feel as though I have something that's coming back like the Clone Wars.
Singular.
Yes.
Brings warm feeling. I can't even do it. It's funny.
Well, there's a reason
I chose
that. The
quotes I can do are from the original trilogy and not from the prequels. For some reason, I cannot do the brings warm feeling around the survivors. A perimeter. I can't do it.
Oh, goodness. Oh. But it feels so much. And speaking as someone who has not been very involved in the Star Wars fan community for a couple of months now, it feels as though I'm stepping back into something that has changed for the better, but the good parts haven't changed. You know, yeah. Dave Filoni is a good director, and this is good artwork that we're seeing, and I trust that he will have a good story. And, you know, I really do think that Star Wars Rebels will be a good show, and I'm excited about it, like I was for each new Clone Wars season coming out.
Yeah.
I think they dropped the ball, though. Chopper, while a cool name, they should have called him Cobble. I mean, if he's cobbled together with a bunch of parts, Cobble made a much better name for that character. But I'm excited to see him. But he also makes me question the fact that, okay, if R2 and 3PO were to happen to show up, could we possibly actually see the Clone Wars designs? Because Chopper doesn't look that far out of that realm. I mean, I know they said they're not going to be able to use any of the background type of stuff, but that droid looks like it could have been put in the Clone Wars just as easily as
lifted
in Rebels.
From the Clone Wars. Like, they talk about being... Here's my observation so far. Like, upon seeing the character designs of the Inquisitor, and upon seeing, like, the Chopper design, like, look at this, Bentley.
I
pull it up on my secondary screen, but, like, this style, it's not a criticism, because Clone Wars has an amazing artistic style, but while they're basically, they have derivative work from Ralph McQuarrie as far as texture, tone, style, and models, but as far as like just the technical, what you see, it could come straight from the Clone Wars.
Yeah, I mean, if you had told me, Bethany, they are actually continuing the Clone Wars for a season, and if I had believed you and you told me this is going to be one of the droids in the Clone Wars,
and they, of course, they've already done the Hasbro figure.
Then I would have totally believed that. That, I mean, it really does look like that, and that kind of furthers the thing of, you know, it feels like a lot has changed in ways. But it feels like a lot hasn't, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's a comfortable, homely feeling to see Dave Filoni and, you know, Cary Silver and.
Yeah. And I think it speaks really well of that whole crew that we speak and feel that way about them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like, because as much as fun as Episode 7 is going to be, it's going to kind of feel like going back to family, going to Star Wars Celebration and seeing the Clone Wars crew on the stage talking about Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
Which is going to be awesome.
From Filoni. I mean, we just retweeted the fact that he had said recently that we're going to be seeing stuff coming out in 2015 or 14. The beginning, early 2014, about season 6 of The Clone Wars, all that footage and stuff. And we're still not hearing anything about that either. It's like, why are they so tight-lipped about some of these things? I mean, you know, I question, like, did they mean to reveal Chopper? Or was Chopper one of those things where he was revealed over in another country and suddenly it was like, okay, well, let's do some publicity grab here. And Filoni seems smart in that regard, where it seems like others aren't quite so quick to jump on that. Like, let's roll with this. Like, when the Lego characters started coming out, we still haven't heard anything about, more of these. But I don't understand why they're just sitting on certain things and not others. I mean, it just it perplexes me. And that one.
Well, I can answer your question, Mark.
Got it. Working on other things. Why are we getting any details?
And it's not just not getting details, but the details that we're getting, it's like this huge post and a video about a droid. Well, and it's like, I like droids.
This is legitimately, this is good. This is how it's done. Like, I'm going to actually.
But why is this not being done with the other characters?
No, because they're Star Wars Expanded Universe characters and they're new takes on them. That's my theory. And I'm sticking to it.
No. It can't be.
I don't think
it's impossible.
It is February. It is February. We are going to see a television movie or special, depending on what source you're following, in like 4-5 months. 4 or 5 months, guys. Like, we had like 2 theatrical trailers for the Clone Wars movie by this time. There's no way that the reason they're not that they're not ready. It's they are hiding things. Like when you see the Lego boxes and they put a blank figure and then just like I don't know, like some mystery television series. Like
it's Mr. Smith.
Like a Sherlockian. There we go. A Sherlockian approach to the main characters of Star Wars Rebels. There's got to be some stuff that I think. Like, and I remember, like, who posted? Someone posted on Facebook. Well, I guess it's posted publicly, so I don't mind saying who. It's not like it's a secret. Is that, like, I saw Dan Curdo longtime Star Wars fans, worked with a lot of fan sites, great guy, posts something. He's like, I think it was him or someone else who's like, I can't believe who's in Star Wars Rebels. And I've heard circlings, and I can say this because I don't even know, of like there's either some big relationship with the character or some actual major character that's going to be in Star Wars Rebels that they just don't want to reveal until the series. So in a very traditional J.J. Abrams con, I mean, John, what's his face, you know, they tried to keep the great secret. That's what they're going to do with Star Wars Rebels. So, you know, the Chopper is essentially a distraction. And even, I just want to make this point real quick, and then we'll move on. Even Chopper was announced from... Let's see. Okay, yeah. There was a video that was featured from, I'm trying to find it. Movie Pilots. So like the German website Movie Pilot leaked this video. It was not on the official Star Wars channel on YouTube. There was not this wonderful StarWars.com page announcing it that you're seeing right here in front of us, Bethany. It was leaked. And then the good thing is within a matter of hours, I'm sure it was almost ready to go, they uploaded this actual one. But I think that's what they're trying to avoid for some of the whatever. There's some big secret. That's all I'm trying to say.
I would definitely agree with that. The only other thing that I can see is Rebels ties into Episode 7 in a way that they don't want to reveal it yet until we can see Rebels for whatever reason. Yeah. You know, like it might not directly tie into the expanded universe, but it does directly tie into Episode 7, and maybe not all the details are finalized.
But there is something there.
Something, because this is not the typical Disney or the typical Lucasfilm marketing style.
Yeah.
And I don't think the fans are huge.
Well, probably the big reveal is going to be that what we didn't know is that Chopper's the Cylon. One will be revealed, ladies and gentlemen. Mark, are you still with us? I know we've had some net troubles, but I think you're still there, right? Correct?
Yeah, wife just got home, so I was chatting with her real fast.
Okay, I was just making sure. Okay, so basically, we only have
fans whipping around. I could kind of get there.
No. It's basically like, it's about that time. It's almost time to bring this episode to a close. But before we do, I want to hit up a quick email from listener Scott Mobley. He has some musings from some of his readings in the Sounds of Star Wars book. He said he was blown away by a simple comment made by sound designer Ben Burtt. I'm currently reading about Episode 2, Attack of the Clones, and he mentioned, Ben Burtt that is, that originally George Lucas intended for Order 66 to be executed in Episode 2 and not Episode 3. Wow, mind blown. My mind is immediately flooded with questions. Why did he make the change? What types of differences would we have seen if Order 66 took place in Attack of the Clones, and how would it have affected what we saw in Episode 3? Is the difference laid out in the writing anywhere? That is a good question. What are your thoughts, Mark?
Why did he make the change? That is a question I've been asking myself every time Lucas dabbles in Star Wars.
Because those rocks were there all along.
One of those things that cracks me up, because like when I always go back to those first moments, you know, I'm a Han shot first guy, because that's what I remember watching, you know, but that's not how canon always works. So then, you know, you always go back to, well, why do you make that change? You know, and it's funny because that is a question that I ask myself about a lot of things. And then when you read like the Star Wars and you're seeing, you know, what the rough draft could have been, oh man, then you're really like, whoa, there's a lot of changes here. And you question, you know, what drove that process? I mean, a lot of it, sometimes I wonder, like, did George go to bed that night and eat a lot of spicy foods and have a dream, and suddenly he was inspired to change the vision today? And, you know, and tomorrow he eats Thai food and has another one, and now it's going in another direction. I mean, I've always been curious as to how that driving force goes. But if we're talking Order 66 in Episode 2, that changes Episode 3 fundamentally, though. I mean, unless they make Episode 3 a movie that's supposed to take place like within a 5 or a 30 minute span, even though it's like an hour long film, but you're seeing it from multiple angles or something, because all that action picks up from there. And I couldn't see Order 66 going down in a way Anakin wasn't involved in it anymore. I don't know. I mean, it would be hard to see Anakin being seduced after Order 66 went down.
Yeah, the timeline would be strange, but I'll tell you, it is an interesting question, and I think those are the exact kind of questions that are really good to ponder on our show. And unfortunately, we don't have time to really get into all the details, because I didn't watch my time going into it.
I did want to say one thing about it real quick, and that is that I would almost think that that would mean that episode 2, the movie, would take place later in the actual timeline. Thus, episode 3 would see more of the events
some
that
of the fallout.
Happened, yeah, in the expanded universe. But that would have made episode 3 a much darker movie.
Yeah. Although, you know, I mean, that's kind of what episode 3 MO was. So I could see
that
this. Definitely really good thought, Scott. Thanks for emailing in. We do appreciate all messages. That was actually sent to our Facebook message system, but the absolute number one best way to get your written thoughts into us is our email. It's going to be starwarsreport@gmail.com. starwarsreport@gmail.com. That's where you can email us like so many did. We've got more feedback coming up in next week's episodes and future episodes. We really appreciate any and all feedback. We read every single email and usually get about each and every one on the show. We're pretty good about that. So send us your thoughts, starwarsreport@gmail.com. As always. And we also want you to follow us up on Twitter and Facebook. It's Facebook.com/Star Wars Report, Twitter.com/Star Wars Report. You can follow me on Twitter. It's @TheRileyGuy. Mark Herleman is @IllogicalRogue2. Bethany is @BethanyLBlanton. And if you want to follow my escapades, it's RileyBlanton.com for some of the non-Star Wars stuff I do. Last little thing I want to let you guys know about for this episode is our iTunes. Why don't you go to StarWarsReport.com/iTunes and leave the show a review if you've got any entertainment value out of some of our Star Warsy discussions each and every week. We really appreciate the support in the form of iTunes reviews. This really helps us in the rankings there and help more listeners discover the show. As always, thank you for listening to this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast. One thing I want you to remember, though, I mean, it's not all sunshine and roses, because many Bothans did indeed die. To bring you this podcast,
stinking hairy bipeds.